UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Hey, Bobby V. It's Nick Valvano here, the second favorite Valvano son. We're coming to you live from Dave and Buster's. It is Fast Break Friday, presented by Universal Windows Direct. Bob Valvano, Mike Pratt. On location at Dave and Buster's, and for a very good cause. Pops, he's got a headset.
Well, to my left, as I look in there, I see, maybe about 10 pairs of shoes already. We haven't even really gone on the air yet. So if you want to come see us, come upstairs. It's the only way into the place. Unless you take the elevator, you'll be on the other side. But if you take the stairs, when you come to the top of the stairs, you can't miss us. And there's a box as you look at me to the right. And it is all filling up with shoes. Slightly used or new, preferably athletic type shoes, although they don't have to be. We've got some cleats in there. We've got other kinds of shoes. And, you know, if you got an old pair that you don't wear much, it's still in good shape, bring it. Believe me, somebody can use it. We play games against these guys on these mission trips. Kids are playing barefoot, which still astounds me. And you got a chance to make a difference. I actually went to one of the discount stores and bought a bunch of shoes and took some of my own and Phil threw some in there, so please help us. Robbie Spear will be here in a little while. It's for his group, Sports Reach, and we're glad that he's going to be able to make a difference in some of these kids' lives. Mike Pratt here with us, Fast Break Friday. Mike, we went to Belize. I think I told you a story. We're playing in a rural part, not in Belize City, and this kid comes into the game. You know, we're playing a group of the local kids, and he comes into the game. He's got basketball shorts and a shirt on.
Barefoot.
And I was like, what? He said, yeah, he just didn't have any shoes. And he was a decent player. It wasn't like he'd never played before. He made some shots. And I was like, this poor kid, this is crazy. Everybody should at least be able to play in shoes.
Can you imagine as many times as you've had your feet stepped on playing a sporting event or somebody's stubbed their toe on you? Can you imagine playing barefooted?
On the concrete court.
Yeah, that's tough. But people start in basketball. You're moving around. People step on you.
Yeah, they you get your foot stepped on a lot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Or somebody runs into you. They got shoes, and you're barefooted, and you're like that.
Yeah, everybody else on the court had shoes. This poor kid. So that stayed with me. So if you can make a difference, I mean, you can find shoes in the discount places for like $15. We're not talking about bringing, you know, state-of-the-art
$200
Air Jordans. Yeah, I mean, just bring something that the guy could put on his feet and play. It'd be a whole heck of a lot better than playing barefoot. Well, we got some cleats in there because they're starting to play softball and baseball over there. Even some American football, which is kind of cool. So Phil threw a pair in there. So make a difference. Come say hello. There we go. Mikey's got his cheaters. We're all sad for Mike because we all deal in the dollar store cheaters, but most of us have one good pair.
That's right.
That the eye doctor gave us.
That's right.
And that's the one you're missing.
I am missing it. I'm trying to backtrack to it. And it's not been successful.
I'll go look at every pair of my dollar store glasses and see if it's in there. But I don't think. Is it just a black frame or is it
black frame? It's got the hinges on it because it's a little more expensive than our Dollar General.
I'll go look. And maybe this isn't it, is it? This is not it, is it?
That's
not it, right?
No.
That's what most of mine are.
Yep.
Dollar store specials.
I understand.
I went to the fair, though, and got my vision tested somewhat astoundingly. From in distance, I'm still 20/20.
Really?
Yeah. The lady was like angry at me. I only needed to read. And when she said, and I had cheaters, I told her, these are just cheaters. And I did the test, and she said, to be honest with you, with the cheaters, you're 20-20 reading, too, so you don't need anything.
Yeah, I'm good distance, too.
You are?
Yep. It's that short-term, hey, look at my notes trick, that you can't read your own notes, right? And so it happens to all of us. I remember the late Bud Olson played at U of L, mm-hmm. played in the pros 10 years, dear friend of mine, and his brother Bill. But he used to tell me, he said, just wait. When you hit 45, you're going to need cheaters, because I was making fun of him with his cheaters. He said, just wait. 45, man. You hit 45, you're going to need them. Sure enough, right on the money. Boom.
I vowed I wasn't going to do it until I hit 50. And trust me, my 49th year was a battle. Oh. I was doing a lot of the,
yep,
putting the menu. Yeah. Could you hold this across the room so I could read it? I finally gave in about halfway through the year. I said, this is not worth it. I can't function. So I was a little sad about that. But my eyes, when I was young, I could read the labels on the records as it was going around. We had records back in those days. So
yeah, the records were great. You had 45s.
Yep. All right, well, I see you've got some notes, so why don't we jump into your topics first? I always do my stuff first. What do you got for us?
Well, I've got a couple things here that I wanted to talk about. But first, listen to the station, of course.
Right.
And our man, Dr. Doom, Lachlan McClain, was running some kind of, he and Patty Ice run some kind of poll about would you rather have Kentucky beat Georgia and lose to Louisville, or would that be worse? And, you know, yada yada, right?
Okay.
And then with Terry Wilson, 25 touchdown passes and 12 interceptions, would that bother you? Would you be okay with that? And you and I coached, okay? And we know there were guys who made plays when you had to have them. And then there was guys that got fat in the get fat time, right? I mean, you didn't need
down,
it.
Down 15 in the last minute, he made three threes. And he said, I mean, look at the box score. He said, well, look at that guy made four threes. Yeah, three of them didn't mean a thing.
Or the game's a blowout. You put the guy in off the bench, and he knocks down three threes or makes a couple layups, a dunk. And, you know, that you got to figure time and place in that whole thing. If you got 12 interceptions and three of them cost you ball games, I mean, you know, you're not going to be happy. And that's what a football coach looks at. He says, you know, I can live with some turnovers. It's when they happen, okay?
It's the first thing I thought of when you said that was, I need more information. I don't know what that tells me.
Yep.
Suppose he only threw 10 touchdown passes and four of them won games for you.
Would you be happy with that?
I think I'd take that.
And if the guy had 10 or 12 interception, none of them cost him games or broke a drive.
It was a third and 30, and they were going to punt anyway, and he just flung it down the field, and it's like a de facto punt. I mean, you know.
Or if it was in the fourth quarter, game zero, first quarter, game 0-0, he throws an interception, they go on and win the game. I mean, come on, that's a non-event.
Yeah, that's the one I hate as much, though, is the would you rather have a win against this team or that team? I like
W's, period.
I was going to say, put it in context. I mean, is the Louisville game the last game of the year that means you get into a bowl game, or do you already have a bowl game wrapped up and Georgia was a meaning? Now you got it put you in the rankings, and I don't know. I mean, those things are, you know, I understand it'll never be just another game.
Sure.
But you ask the players and coaches, and there's no question what's the word I'm looking for? The emotional charge of the thing is far greater to the fans than it is the players.
Yeah,
they understand the impact, and they understand it's special, and they get excited about it. They're happy to be in a game that has meaning. Players want to play in meaningful games, so they like rivalry games. But they're not thinking about this makes or breaks our season. They look at the whole damn season, and they look at, you know, the whole body of work. They really do. I know you don't want to hear that, fans, sometimes, because you're going to beat those sons of, you know, but I don't. The players don't really see it that way.
No.
I mean, that's just the reality of it.
They know they're going to have to live with the outcome, but the outcome dissipates pretty quickly for them. Okay? The way the game is positioned now, Ohio State, Michigan's been this way. You go into a bowl, or you go to break, or you come back and you get your team together, you start working again. Who's talking about that game? The fans.
Yeah,
not
it's
the
all, and we want that. If the fans don't talk about it, you and I don't have a job here, because it means, you know, sports radio. But the fact of the matter is, not all of them are the same. Like Ohio State and Michigan are conference games. If you want to win the conference, you got to go through the other guy. This Louisville Kentucky game is not a conference game. Either one of them. I mean, it's unlikely. But either one of them could win their conference, not lose another game, and lose the rivalry game, and still be their conference champions. I mean, Year's bowl game. I mean, you couldn't do that if you were at Michigan State or Michigan or Ohio in that rivalry, because that's part of your league. So that's part of the deal as well. Did you see this guy did a poll online the other day? I'll ask you your thought. I thought it was funny. He doesn't have a lot of followers, but this got a lot of bang. He said, which is the most annoying guy? The run the football guy, the throw the ball inside basketball guy, the nobody knows how to bunt anymore guy, pick your other ones. I put down live by the three, die by the three guy. I hate that guy. I can't stand that guy. So there's a bunch of people who volunteered some of their own choices. Curious if when you watch a game, you got a catchphrase that, you know, you hate listening to, quote-unquote, that guy. You know why I hate live by the three, die by the three guy, because it flies in the face of all the metrics that say you should take threes. You know, if you take bad threes...
Time and place.
Yeah, any bad shot's a bad shot. But if you're taking good shots, all the guys who do the numbers tell you, if anything, they don't take enough threes. They should be taking more threes, as amazing as that sounds. So let me see if I can find this Twitter.
The other thing... I was going to get to as we talk a little more basketball, but I really like it that we're finally getting ready to play football. Miami, Florida kind of kicks it off, and then big weekend, Labor Day weekend, almost all teams come in and start playing. But what do you think, Bob, by moving the three-point line back? Because I've always been an advocate.
Is that a rule change for this year? Doing that?
Yes.
How far, though?
Not real far.
Is it the international line now?
It's closer to that. And I couldn't tell you exactly where, but it's closer. They experimented with it in the NIT.
So, but I looked at the numbers. Didn't have that much of an impact, so that's fine by me.
But you know what's got lost in the equation with the three, I think? And I know the numbers. I understand three and two and blah, 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 blah. But if you're playing a good defensive team, okay, and they crowd you off that three, and you've got to put the ball on the floor and go into that no man's land to make the jump shot or something else, we have lost the ability many times for players because they're so conscious of dunks and threes that they can't convert that two that's basically given to them a lot. They're given to them a lot because they're going to run them off the three. How many times have you heard coaches say, well, we got to run him off the three, you know, heels on the three? And I get that because these kids are pretty daggone good at shooting it. I get all that. But I want to see some guys taking advantage of being run off the three by a good defensive team.
And making a mid-range shot.
And making a mid-range, okay? Oh, and of course, I know you can get to the rim, but can you make the foul shots? Can you finish at the rim? Can you make the foul shots? You got the two there. You got to make some of those to get people off the three-point line defensively.
Yeah. I think you do. I mean, we used to run offenses, I know you did, to try to get that shot. Ran an offense. The flex was designed. Ran the flex cut in the down screen. The guy coming off the down screen, you were trying to get him an elbow shot. That was part of what you did. So I don't know. Now, all of a sudden, because of the three-point shot, it seems like it's an undesirable shot. But I agree with you. The thing I don't like is when guys get run off the three-point line, they don't really work on the skill set to just take a dribble and shoot a pull-up. So they just put their head down. They go a million miles an hour, and I call it flailing. They just flail at the basket and hope that they get a whistle and go to the free throw line.
So it's a wasted trip.
I think that's awful basketball, and you see that all the time.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to do – or they shoot floaters, which, you know, some guys can make floaters, and some guys – sometimes it's a good shot, but some of the times it's not a good shot. It's just an off-balance shot over a much bigger player that – you know, you'd be better off. My father used to say, you're 6 foot tall and you don't jump that well. Shoot the elbow jumper. Why are you going in and trying to shoot it over trees? Now you got to be in the circus. You shoot 70% at the free throw line, shoot a free throw shot. That's a pretty good shot.
Exactly. Pull up at the foul line and let it go. No, your point is, and your dad's points will take it. When you're playing good teams, now, if you're playing a lesser team, whoever that may be, I don't care. You know, take it and dunk it and do all those things. But if you're playing a good defensive team, you know, you're challenged at the three-point line. And if they're successful, they've got that defensively behind you protecting the rim. There's a gap in there. And what you need when you're playing a good team is not to have many empty trips, right? You can't – when you're playing a good matchup, a really good team, you can't have the empty trips and beat a good team like that.
That's the bottom line is you hear – you know – coaches have different terms for it, They didn't really use this term when I was coaching or playing, but they use it all the time now. Coaches refer to getting a kill, three straight stops. That's what they call it, a kill. So to your point, it's well taken. If you can just, you know, not have empty trips, you can prevent that team. It's like baseball. Tony La Russa is a really interesting guy. You know, he's a lawyer. He's a very interesting guy. His whole premise about baseball was to, on his side of the ball, try and create crooked numbers. And when he was on the defense, not allow a crooked number because he did studies. You know, most games are not lost by single run innings. The team that wins is a team that puts a crooked number up there, puts a three or a four or something on the board. And it's the same thing in basketball. You know, nobody's going to pitch a shutout, so they're going to score some. But if you can not go long stretches without scoring, it's like giving up a single run in baseball. You can overcome that.
Right.
But if you let them get kills, they get three kills a half. That's nine empty possessions. Yeah. You got a chance to find yourself in a big hole by halftime.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always been an advocate of tracking, doing games, the runs. Okay, how about this run? Yep. You know, do you have an answer to the run? Everybody, good teams are going to put together runs, okay? It's how long defensively you allow them to run the ball or make baskets in a run.
Yes, it's Pat, your buddy, your old teammate, Pat Riley, I used to use his term. He said in the NBA, in a 48-minute game, he calls them skirmishes. Skirmishes are mini runs where you outscore the opponent in that little window by 5 points or more. And he said, basically, in an NBA game, if you win four of those seven skirmishes, you win the game. If you win five of them, you win comfortably. Six is a blowout. And he said, you may go months at a time and never have a game where you win all seven skirmishes. I mean, that's that rare game where you're catching a team tired at the end of a road trip and they get blown out early and they kind of just fold up their tents. But we said in a college game, so we used to look at it as five skirmishes. You know, that's how I always looked at it. And we told guys, let's try and win three of the skirmishes and try to get – I forget the term he used, but he also said if you can get I forgot what we called a for lack of a better word, a blitz, which is not just a little 5-0 run. It's those double-digit, 10-1, 11-2. You know, those are the ones that count, like, for double. I mean, that's like winning two little minis. And that's like the crooked inning in baseball. But that's what basketball is all about. It's playing for all those runs. And you know what? I'll go you one better. My opinion, you could disagree. When I do the games, I'm struck by the fact that even bad teams can put runs together. What they can't do is they can't trade punches. That's a very important part of good teams. I call it the part of the game. I make a run, I cool off a little bit now, and I don't let you make the other run back at me. You make a shot, I don't go empty trips. We go, you know, I made a little run, I got a 7-point lead. Now it doesn't go from 7 back to 1. It goes 7, 5, 6, 5, 7, 6, 7, 5, 4, 6. I've managed to milk that little run. The bad teams can't do that. They get like a 7-point run, and they give up a 12-point run in return. And all of a sudden you turn around, they're like, yeah, we had a 5-minute stretch there. We played about as well as we could, and we're still down 5. I love that. My brother used to say there's only 4 combinations that happen in a basketball game. I love this kind of stuff because I think it's true. Both teams play well. Both teams play poorly. One team plays well and the other team plays poorly, or vice versa. You play poorly and the other team plays well. He contended the games are won and lost in those two boxes where one team's playing well and the other team's playing poorly. Because if you're equally matched and you're both playing well, if you're blown out, if no disrespect, but like if Kentucky's playing Rider and they both play well, Kentucky still blows them out.
Exactly,
but a conference game, a competitive game, if you're both playing well and you're both playing poorly, I mean, as long as you don't, you know, play stupidly poorly, like where you missed a couple of shots, now you got guys coming down.
Turnovers.
Yeah, they come down just try and throw home run passes. But if you stay true to what you're doing and you both play well, you both play poorly, the game is usually not decided in that quadrant. It's decided in the other two quadrants. When they're playing well and you're playing poorly, how can you hang on for dear life? How can you muscle through it? So instead of going down 12, you just go down 5. And then when you're playing well and they're playing poorly, how do you not, I used to say all the time, don't help them. You know, you got a little run going now, and guys sometimes get a little, hey, we got it going here, and they get carried away, and they're trying to throw home run passes, and as Al McGuire used to say, putting a lot of French pastry in there throwing mustard on the hot dog. Don't help them. Get that run where you're going well and they're struggling, and next time they look up at the board, have them down double digits. I really do believe there's a lot to that, and I'm not sure. I think unfortunately, players don't grasp that. Because when they're playing well and the other guy's playing poorly, there's a lot of guys that will relax. They think,
sure.
Oh, things are going well. We're going well here.
I'll take a breather.
Hey, I got a little chance to get a little breather here. That's the time, man. You got to see the other way around. That's the chance you're going to win the game. That's your game-winning quadrant right there. You got to jump on that. But it's not second nature to guys to do that. That's why I always talk about early in the game, if two teams that when you assess them coming into the game are equal, you know, you think it's going to be a competitive game. And all of a sudden, one team jumps out to a 12-0 run or 13-0 lead. I always say the game hasn't really started yet. The game doesn't start until the second team engages in the battle, you know, until they get their legs in them. Now, they make a couple of shots, even if it's a 7 or 8 point lead, now you say, the game's begun now because now they're in the game. Sometimes they never do. You've had games like that, I'm sure, where you get knocked on your heels early and you never can get yourself righted. It happens maybe twice a year, maybe some if you're like Kentucky.
Depends on the team.
It may not happen at all, but
it
happens. You get knocked on your keister early and you just can't. But most of the time, you're right to ship, and I think that that's not easy to tell guys. I see players sometimes on that team that's up 12-0, and they think you can read their faces. Oh, it's going to be easy, and you're saying, "Well, the game hadn't even started yet. It's not hadn't even begun."
To your point, that's why coaches use their timeouts to thwart runs
any
time. But what I think is, if you go back before the advent of the three-pointer in college basketball, when you had upsets. A couple things determine those upsets. One, foul trouble by the better team. And two, you say, man, they were hot. Yeah. They were knocking down. They were hitting 55, 60%. Okay, and they had a chance for an upset. What we have now, I think, is why when you have a somewhat of a mismatch, a really good team and a really good team and a good team, is they come out firing the threes, man. That's the deal. Coaches call timeout. They talk about putting your heels on the three-point line, everything else. But the three-pointer has been the
great equalizer. It absolutely is. No doubt.
In this game.
I mean,
it's just been the equalizer upstairs in the NBA, too.
Well, everybody. Jeff Walls, remember, for people locally, remember, it was Baylor, right? They played Baylor, who was highly favored and big, powerful team. And they came out, and instead of just trying to – you know, that's another fallacy. People think you pulled upsets by – holding the ball. You don't. You've got to, again.
Not with the clock, yeah.
Well, even before the clock. You got. Most upsets take the form of run, hold, run. You make an early run. You get in that segment of the game we talked about where you trade punches. You may lose much of the lead or even all the lead, but you're in there punching, and then another late run. Run, hold, run. Well, part of that is coming out early and attacking. And remember, Jeff, that game came out and started shooting threes the minute they got off the bus, and they were making them. And the next thing you know, Baylor's on their heels going, what the hell just happened here? So you're right. It's a great equalizer. In the old days, you know, that was not a luxury. You had to get really, really hot making a whole bunch of twos. But
I mean, some guys come out and they can do that.
Yeah, we would see that. I mean, the Villanova game against Georgetown. Well, at your place, at Rupp, the second half, would they shoot 9 of 11 or something? They only took like 11 shots, and they made 9 of them. They shot like 90%.
I remember when Penn State came in and played UK in Lexington one December. They had these two little guards, and they lit it up. But they weren't shooting threes. They were shooting twos. But they lit it up. And I heard a coach once say, I want the last run or the longest run.
Well, I like that.
And you think about that, that is so true. And because here's a cliche, it's a game of runs.
Well, maybe that should be on the list. Here's the guy's list. Which sports fan is the most annoying? Establish the run guy, football. Throw an inside guy, basketball. Run out the ground ball guy in baseball. Or shoot the puck in hockey, which is true. They're always yelling at guys in hockey, shoot it! Shoot the puck! No matter where the guy is. So he got some interesting responses. Mine was live by the jump shot, die by the jump shot. I still stand by that. But there were other ones that said, come on, line. You got to block somebody. I call that the state the obvious guy. The guy
football
that watches
lineman.
Anything that happens. Don't turn the ball over. Really good advice. Thank you. Because the kid went out there and thought it would be a good thing if he turned it over a bunch of times. Block somebody. There you go. The coach didn't tell him that.
No.
If the coach had only thought to tell him to block somebody. Make your free throws. That's another one I love. Make your free throws. Really? The kid was up there.
You think they work on it?
Yeah. Do you think they practice it? No. They never even heard of the concept before.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But call 3 seconds guy. That's another guy. He's always yelling at, call 3 seconds. Get him out of there. This is a good one. Put in blank, whoever the backup quarterback is. For God's sake, put in blank.
That's always. I mean, you know, you get
he's the most popular guy in town.
You
the backup
get two
quarterback.
Games into the season. That's all you hear. Okay.
And another one. Second lead of live by the jump shot, die by the jump shot. My other least favorite is offense wins games, defense wins championships.
Oh, I hate that.
I
one.
Do too. That makes I do me too. Literally nauseated.
And these kids can score it, and they can score the three. And you know, Kentucky loses to Auburn in the regional final last year. They're 76% foul shooting team. They shoot 57, and all they needed to make one more, and they go to the Final Four. Just one of those misses well, that's, on the and that offense.
Cal didn't practice at
yeah,
all.
That's
did he?
Offense. That was yeah, yeah,
make your free throws.
What's Cal's a bad foul shooting coach? You know, yeah, I've got one for you that kind of irks me a little bit. We understand to where the game is going, okay? And the big guys want to play out on the floor. They yes, all they very do. Few of them want to play at the low post. Very few. Why do people go around saying, "Well, we don't have a big man. We don't have a big man." Now, here's my theory.
That's good. I like that. Now, that's a good
these
point.
These kids, like you and I, most of them grew up. Well, they play AAU now. But when you're growing up, playing on the playgrounds, playing in the backyard, doesn't everybody at any size post people up? Some of the best post-up guys I ever saw were my size at 6'3".
Adrian Dantley? Oh. He wasn't a whole lot bigger than I was. Yeah, Charles Barkley's probably not a whole lot bigger than you are.
Yeah, he's maybe 6'4", 6'5", but they knew how to use that lower body. The footwork was exquisite.
Mark Aguirre.
Mark Aguirre. But, I mean, we've got
that's the first thing they ask. That, especially when you were at a place like St. Francis, that used to drive me nuts. Got any big guys? Yeah. And one year we signed a 7-footer that, as the cliche goes, couldn't play dead.
Yeah.
They were so happy, and I didn't have the heart to tell them, this kid is going to need help tying his shoes. But, you know, yeah, we got ourselves a 7-footer. I hope you're happy.
In this game today, I think my ideal team would be 6'8", 6'8", 6'7". You know,
and
you have some guards,
and
you got guards who can shoot the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Because you can always find one matchup of a guy who's not a good post defender.
Yeah.
Run that guy down to the block. Who cares if he's guarding the three-man or the four-man or the five-man? The
thing about that is coaches now hate, generally speaking, to play zone. Don't even talk about
which is
playing
bizarre
the zone.
To me.
It is to me, too. But if that's your philosophy, stick with it, okay? So if that's the case and you're playing a team that's not going to play zone, will you invert your players, you post them up, you get some baskets, it opens up the outside, and away you go. 6'7", 6'6", you can post up if the spacing is so important right now.
I mean, we used to say that if you have, especially at Division III level, we had very small teams, and they could all shoot it.
Yep.
I mean, even
a
five-man could make a three. So we always felt they had to be one matchup on the other team of a guy who we could get around. And even if it took you like four or five dribbles to do it, it didn't matter because everybody had to stay home on the shooters because as soon as they came off and helped, we'd throw it to that guy and he could shoot it. So I used to say if all five of their guys can keep all five of our guys from getting around him, we might as well just go play golf because we aren't going anyway. they're just better than we are. But if you can find one guy who can go around his man, even if he has to do it by taking, you know, three Earl Monroe dribbles, you know, going backwards and turn, who cares? Because he's going to get in there.
Dribble.
He's going to get in there, and then the minute somebody comes to help, kick it and shoot it. So you're absolutely right. But I mean,
there's one play to your point that I really like, and I watch for this play to see how the opponent of Kentucky plays it or any team. You're in transition, okay, and everybody wants to run it and dunk it, but defense is back. The drag, the pick-and-roll drag, okay?
Right off transition.
Right out of transition, you drag and you penetrate and you see the object is to get the man with the ball in the paint, create pressure. So you see how your opponent's playing defense. Are they willing to move over and help? Are they willing to try to cut guys off at the top, or are they just going to challenge at the rim? I think that play in transition where there's a
– We didn't do that much. That wasn't done a whole lot when I was coaching.
No, absolutely
I didn't do
it.
Nobody really did. Nobody went right into a ball screen off the break. Nobody did that. They all
– They call that a drag now.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I do too. And I like to see – because Kentucky Calipari wants to be up-tempo, wants to push the ball. And there's a lot of tape. Bruce Pearl did that with his guards. You know, he had some really good guards.
Yeah, he did.
The little kid Harper was terrific with the ball in transition. And they would try to do that. And, boy, it makes you as a coach, you're watching your defense and watching what they, how they react or don't react. But offensively, it applies pressure, man. You got to get some stops at the defensive end to get in transition. Okay, it's much harder to fast break off against the make bats.
Absolutely. We're here at Dave & Buster's. Robbie Spear just joined us, and we hope you'll help him in his efforts and help us. We got a big box over there of shoes that if you can bring new or lightly used athletic shoes and pop them in the box, Robbie, we got some for you in there already.
None fit you, though.
Hopefully we're going to get some more. There's some cleats, there's sneakers, there's the whole ball of wax. If you're listening, come by and bring us a gently used pair or a new pair. I mean, I went and got some at one of the discount stores. It didn't cost a whole lot of money, and it'll make a huge difference to somebody's life who's out there trying to play these sports barefoot, which still blows my mind. Doug Flynn's going to join us next. We're at Dave & Buster's here at the Mall, St. Matthews. Come and say hello. Come right up the top of the stairs. You can't miss us. And play some games. Nick, are you coming back here to play some games? I need to know that. Because if you're not, I'm going to use all your cards.
Please save me at least one.
Well, I knew that was coming, Nick.
All right, what did he say? Are you coming or not? You coming back?
Yeah, sorry. My button got sticky.
All right, well, then I'll say something.
I'm coming.
There's
I'll play you for one.
Really? There's jackpots to be won.
Well, I got a couple cards.
You got to go
pocket.
Back. Oh, yeah, there's a baseball game over there.
Really?
All right, yeah, we'll take a break. And speaking of baseball, Doug Flynn joins us next as we roll on here on ESPN 680 1057.
Attention, all active and retired military members. Over 35 and just not feeling yourself, you may be eligible for free advanced primary care through 25again.com/military. We appreciate your military service. Get the answers you need right now, wherever you are. Take our free online survey today at 25again.com/military. You deserve a better doctor, have more energy, look and feel younger, and live your life to the fullest. Take the mystery out of your health care. Visit 25again.com/military today.
Bright Spring presents the 2019 UPS Plane Pole, Pulling for a Purpose, benefiting Special Olympics Kentucky. You're invited to join a team to compete pulling a Boeing 757 or be a spectator on September 21st at UPS Worldport. Enjoy food, music, giveaways, and stop by the College and Career Fair to learn about UPS's opportunities where future you graduates debt-free. For more information, text JOIN THE TEAM to 33588 or to apply now, visit upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Being summer, it's hot and dry, and just guessing there's a lot of other things you'd rather be doing right now than treating your lawn. Guess what? You don't have to be treating your lawn this week. That's the job of the great folks at Ferris and Lawn Care. Ferris and Lawn Care is a team of local pros, and ESPN Louisville has been honored to have them as part of our broadcast family almost since day one. You can trust Ferris to deliver your weed-free, healthy lawn through these dog days of summer and beyond. Make it easy on yourself. Make the call to Ferris at 245-9422.
At Class Act Federal Credit Union, it's all about the people and education. Class Act serves the educational community of Louisville and surrounding counties, including University of Louisville students and alumni. Ask about our honors checking account that yields 4% interest and allows $25 in ATM refunds each month. Drop your bank, join the movement. Text ESPN to 502-212-3167 to enter our weekly $25 Visa gift card drawing. Again, text the word ESPN to 502-212-3167. Visit classact.org today.
Hi, I'm Mike Pratt, here to tell you about Premier Packaging, a locally owned business that specializes in packaging, shipping, and logistics. Since 1984, Premier Packaging has taken a straightforward approach you can trust. With shipping costs on the rise, their team of professionals will work with you personally to minimize costs and increase your bottom line. From inbound, outbound, storing, and picking, Premier Packaging has solutions for your businesses, large or small. Visit Primpack.com and sign up for a free assessment. Premier Packaging. This approach makes a difference.
Hey, it's Yaya. You probably heard the Vivanos raving about Mill and Tony Italian restaurant. Well, they're raving about me. They're my family recipes. I run the joint. So please stop by Mill and Tony. We're located by I-64 right off the Hirshhorn exit. And man, have I been busy. We just opened our second location at 1008 Commerce Boulevard in Barstown, Kentucky. We have daily lunch specials for just $5.99, such as baked ziti and manicotti. Come see me at Mill and Tony. Okay, I gotta get back to cooking.
Hey, this is Mike Pratt, and do you know what sets a community bank apart from the rest? Friendly service, attention to detail, focus on making sure customers get what they need. At River City Bank, you will receive all of that and more. Be it a home improvement project, construction of a new home, or a bridge loan, their team is with you every step of the way. Visit any convenient River City Bank location or online at rivercitybankky.com. Hometown banking, hometown people. River City Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
At Witch Witch, they believe that a great sandwich has the power to make any day better. Witch Witch has launched their new favorites menu, including clubs with top quality grilled and breaded chicken, plus new shakes, including birthday cake, the famous Courtney's cookie, and yellow M&M shakes. Two area locations, 221 South Hurstburn Parkway and Old Brownsboro Crossing. Mention ESPN, you'll get a large build-your-own witch for just $6.80. Order online or download the new app. Witch Witch, superior sandwiches.
Do you suffer from peripheral neuropathy in the hands or feet? Continual numbness, tingling or burning sensation, balance problems, decreasing the quality of life? This is Mike Pratt, University of Kentucky Basketball Hall of Famer. I am here to talk to you about Dr. Anthony Sears, author of Your 21st Century Doctor. One issue that has long frustrated Dr. Sears, that many neuropathy sufferers are unaware of, is the potential dangerous side effects of the prescription drugs that they are using. They are unaware of recent studies that reveal the very drugs they're taking are actually making the condition worse. Dr. Sears' passion is showing patients how to reverse their neuropathy and live without the fear of the inevitable downward spirals created by the disease itself and the typical cocktail drug approach. To learn more, I invite you to his free seminar, Blueprint to Neuropathy. This seminar is free. Seating is limited. Call now to reserve your spot, 1-888-655-PAIN. Again, 1-888-655-PAIN.
Fast Break Friday is brought to you by Universal Windows. Schedule your free in-home estimate today, and for every window you buy, you get the next one free. Plus, 0% financing for 36 months and free installation. You'll be saying, I love my windows.
Fast Break Friday is presented by Universal Windows Direct. There's still some warm days ahead, and you don't want to be paying all that money to have your air conditioning go right out the window. Well, your opportunity to get new windows, not have to make any payments till next year, is right now with the best windows on the market, Universal Windows Direct. They use Super Spacer technology. It's based in aerospace research. It makes a better seal. Traditional windows have metal spacers that conduct heat and cold. These don't, so they last longer. They have a better seal. They'll save you money on your utilities, and your house will have that new home glow with those fresh, new, gorgeous windows from Universal Windows Direct. It's free installation right now, and Nick, when you do that, you just distract me. I have no idea what you said. What the hell did you just say? This is what it sounds like when I'm on the air. I'm reading, mid-reading in my ear, I hear. Boom. I don't know. We're on fire. We've been bombed. Mom called. She's taken prisoner.
The check bounced or whatever.
What are you saying to me? So, anyway. So
Doug
you need
Flynn
to call Universal
dropped. I'm saying it on the air now. Yeah.
Great. So is he gone? Doug Flynn dropped.
I'm calling him back. He's driving. He's on his way.
He might be mad that we did a Windows read. He might have said, I'm Doug Flynn. Damn it. I don't need to wait for anybody commercial reads.
I don't need any windows.
My windows are fine. But he'd be silly if he didn't take advantage of this deal. You get them installed for free, and they absolutely, when you see the demonstration, you'll see what makes them so special. So give them a call, Universal Windows Direct. They'll come and do a free estimate in your home. And like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows. We are very fond of Doug Flynn as well, so if we can find his little butt, we'll put him on
the air. Coach is gone.
And he's good. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. He is good.
He's good.
And when we get done with him, let's talk a little football here. I think something interesting is happening in college football.
Something's happening.
Yeah, outside all the picks and this and that.
I'd like to know what that is.
When kids start transferring, it's usually when they're unhappy, correct?
Sure.
Playing time, whatever, closer to mom. But it's usually we see some running backs maybe or some linemen or secondary guys, but man, there's two key quarterback transfers that are worth talking about this year.
Jalen Hurts, I assume, is one
of them. Yes, sir, and Fields up at Ohio State from Georgia. I mean,
I was surprised. I made Hurts my Heisman Trophy dark. I try and pick an oddball one so that
you know, I don't pick the same as everybody else did. Not that it's that odd. I mean, he's a good player. And they've had a series of quarterbacks win it at Oklahoma, so it's not that far-fetched. Yeah. But the story is that he just barely won the job. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
I don't know if that was a way to try and keep the other guys, you know, still involved. Or because I thought you were going to say, or maybe you are, one of the reasons teams are waiting so long to name a starting quarterback is they're afraid guys are just going to bag it. As soon as they name Joe a starter, Tom says, well, the hell with this. I'm out of here.
There's my backup.
I'm leaving.
I got an injury. Well, the other thing I was going to say about this, and I'm right with you on that, I read this little tidbit. The Fields kid started at Georgia.
Right.
He was a top five, number one quarterback, top five player in the country. Okay? He gets beat out by another guy. He goes to Ohio State. He's the and you and I have talked about recruiting. We understand the necessity to recruit, but the stars and all this kind of stuff is, I just want to see them myself. But this kid, top five player, six star, whatever it is, okay, highest ranked player coming down to high school to play at Ohio State.
Huh.
Number one quarterback. Wow. Now, they may not have done that when Art Schleister
or somebody.
Okay, I don't know how far back all that started. But I read this where the kid was the number one. Yeah, I mean, and he's going to start.
Well, we'll get into that. Doug Flynn, he's a guy who joins us right now. Did you know, Mike?
I knew. I know Doug.
With the New York Metropolitans, in, I believe, his second year there, he played 430 innings at shortstop, and he committed just seven errors. I make seven errors a radio show. He made seven errors the whole season. Unbelievable. And at second base, he had the second best fielding percentage in the league at .986.
Bob, that's why they call him the glove.
The man had some serious hands.
The glove.
He joins us right now. Did you hang up on us, Mike? Just tell the. I mean, Doug, did you? Did you just?
Well, you all were talking. You were talking about six-star players, and you know, I was like a one-star, so I just felt like I didn't belong.
Hey, come on! I know you know you are dialed in with the Reds, but you actually played more years, I think, with the Mets than anybody else. You got to give me a comment on what's going on in New York. This is wild. I mean, baseball's supposed to be a game of no momentum, but my gosh, do they have momentum going right now?
It is absolutely bizarre what is happening up there. Todd Frazier's a good friend of mine, so we stay in touch. And they're not even trying to analyze it now. They're just saying, let's go with it and ride this sucker for as long as we can. And, man, they are having some fun. But as you guys both know, when you're having fun playing the game, I don't know what comes first, having fun and playing good or the playing good than having fun. But either way, it's a joy to be on the field when that's going on.
You know what I wanted to ask you, Doug, before we get into other stuff? You know the story. The new GM, who was a former agent, came out before the year and said, you know, come and get us, which made me cringe when he did it because that never works out well. And about right before the All-Star break, to his credit, he said, yep, they came and got us. You know? Yeah. But I'm wondering if that didn't hurt his team. Do you think guys played under a little pressure early that they didn't really need? And when he said that, they kind of relaxed a little bit because it was a guy acknowledging that maybe he ran his mouth sooner than he should. And at that point, that's when they started to play lights out. I mean, baseball's a game you got to play relaxed. You can't play with the veins bursting out of your neck.
Well, that's a little bit of every sport. But, the trash talking has never been part of my forte, or I've never really liked it in the game, because if you play long enough, I don't care what you say, good or bad, it's going to come back around and it's going to hit you. And when it does, especially if you've been popping off about the positive, when the negative gets there, nobody lets you forget about it. So I always found it best just to keep your mouth shut and play as good as you can. And when the good stuff happens, boy, it is good. But you know that you make a good point. Playing in New York anyway is a little bit nervy when you're not used to something like that. I know when I got traded up there, I was thankful that the players were all good to me and helped me relax, and I had Joe Torre around. But I tell you, if you pop off and alibi, they will eat you alive. If you own up to your mistakes and play hard, you'll have no problem with the New York fans.
That's true.
Well, Doug, I'm going to have to ask you to go back to when you were a Red Leg and talk about wolfing and selling wolf tickets and popping off. That team, how good was that team? We all know how good it was, okay? But they didn't say a daggone thing, did they? They just let their play talk for them, huh?
Well, there was a lot of – the trash talk is so different today, Mike, than it was back then. You know, it was funny. I remember around the cages when we'd be playing the Pirates and there were, or the Phillies, there was always some loud chatter. Of course, the Pirates have guys like Sargent and Dave Parker, and they would talk a lot. Joe Morgan would talk some, but it was a different kind of trash talk. One day I remember Larry Boa came up to Dave Concepcion and said, "Hey, Davey, I didn't know you changed your name." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You didn't change your name to Irving?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, it said in the paper, E. Concepcion." So, and that's the kind of stuff that you would hear all the time, you know.
Well, I'm going to have to ask you now about my boy Schmitty. And I don't know when's the last time you talked to him, but he never said much of anything. I can't see.
No.
He was not a trash talker at all growing up. You know?
He wasn't a talker at all.
I mean, yeah, right.
He was one of those guys that was to himself pretty much, took the game very seriously. There wasn't a lot of talking with him. When he came to the ballpark to play a game, you were going to get 100% of Mike Schmidt. So you never saw him do much of that. I think one of the best things that happened for him is when Pete went over to their ball club in 1980, and he kind of got Schmitty and Bo and those guys to loosen up a little bit. They won the World Series that year, but Pete did all the talking. So Mike, and he told those guys, "You all just go play. I can handle the press." And that's what Pete was the very best at. Of course, they went ahead and won the World Series.
Baseball doesn't lend itself to trash talking like basketball, though you're literally in the guy's face for like 48 minutes. Yeah. Baseball, if the right fielder wants a trash talk, he'd be more able to trash talk the hot dog vendor in the stands than he would anybody on the other team.
Hey, Bob, and I tell you what, they put so many rules on the stuff that goes on in baseball. You know, there wasn't trash talking, but if a guy showed you up at home plate, you'd knock him down. If a guy took you out in a double play, you'd find a way to get back at him. You'd either throw at him next time or your pitcher would take care of it. Baseball has eliminated that. So if you trash talk now, I mean, they'll go to the video and find some kind of replay, take 3.5 minutes, and then the time that's over with, you forgot what you were mad about. Yeah, there's too many stupid stuff going on in baseball now. A game 150 years old, and I wish they'd leave a lot of it alone.
How about Marty Brenneman coming out the other day and saying he can't watch the game anymore? Did you see that?
I saw that. I was shocked.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons he's getting out of the game. You know, we're watching the Reds, who have stayed 6 to 8 games out of first place, be one run down or a tie ball game in the last inning, and they're hitting, and they get a man on first or a man on second. No attempt whatsoever to move the runner up, to get him in scoring position, or to get him to third where you can drive him in. And the game, you sit there and you think, all right, launch angles are good, but you're setting a record for home runs, you're setting a record for strikeouts, but I thought the name of the game was to try to win. And, you know, if you're 6.5 out and you got a chance to move on the Cubs or the Cardinals and you're in a one-run ball game and you're not trying to advance runners, I mean, if they're leaving it up to the players, then they're obviously not smart enough to do it on their own. And if they're not telling, then that's shameful.
Well, Doug, how do you change that? Doug, I've heard that argument from a bunch of people and read about it. I mean, how do you change that whole culture that's come about?
You're right, Mike. That is the culture of the game now. And it's a new breed of people that have come in. You see less and less former players on the field coaching or managing ball clubs, and you see a new group that has come in, and statistically they're starting to move with switches and changes, and they realize that if you're going to strike out or ground out, there's no difference. So when you get 2 strikes on you, you're trying to still hit the ball out of the ballpark. I don't know. I'm not in favor of it. I don't like it just lends itself to a lot of individuality and not a lot of teamwork. And as you both know, the teams that you're on where you are pulling for your teammate, playing hard for your teammate because you love them and you like being with them, that's the teams that are going to win.
surprised that you remember it wasn't that long ago. The Royals won the World Series with a team with, I mean, decent talent, but they didn't have great talent. But they played old school baseball. Get them on, get them over, get them in. And I'm, you know, that's usually when everybody starts to emulate. You know, the guy wins a championship doing it one way. There's a great imitation, you know, and nobody embraced it. We still see. Because you know what it is? It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Nobody really knows how to bunt anymore. So if you ask them to bunt, they'll fail, and then the guys, the wise guys in the booth will say, "Say that's why you can't be bunting, giving outs away. You got to let them swing." And so the managers, I don't even know. Honest to God, Doug, I think the front office people would rather the manager be a robot. I think they'd like to. They want to tell them the lineup. They have all the computer printouts. They got the numbers, the metrics, and the manager's a necessary evil right now.
I can't argue with that point, Bob. I would love to see it. Will The instant replay is taking the individuality, taking the personality out of the manager. Remember when Casey Stengel and Lou Piniello and Earl Weaver and all those guys used to come up out of the dugout, and, man, they were worth watching arguing for their team. Now he comes to the top step. You take a look at the replay. You either say, yes, we're going to take a look at it, or no, we're not going to take a look at it. And so you've taken that part of the game away from it. And to me, if you start taking the human element out of this ball game, man, you have lost a lot of it. And I think that's what they want to do. They want to have those strikes called by a computer. They want to have the bang-bang plays called by a computer. You start doing that, I've always said, yeah, I'd like to get it right. But until I start playing and performing at 1,000%, then why should I expect the umpires to do that?
Well, I think, Doug, that they watch the tennis now, the big tennis events with the robot or the whatever.
Cyclops.
Cyclops. And, you know, they get that right with that thing. And I think that baseball and maybe even basketball, to some extent, we might see that all change, too. I mean, it just seems like they want no human mistakes. They want to eliminate all human mistakes. Would you agree?
Well, we're going to play in a utopian-type sports world, it looks like. But thank goodness, Mike, that it's not dependent upon a machine or something, because there's a whole lot of us that would never have got an opportunity. Because if they start doing that with the play on the field, then they'll start doing that with the way that they sign certain players. So guys like me and, you know, small forwards like you, we might not have ever got a chance to play.
You know, that is absolutely the truth. Yep. I mean, yep. You know, now you go to a tryout camp, they want to know two things. How hard can you throw it and how far can you hit it? That's the God's – I mean, you know, I mentioned this on the show before. I think my son was a decent – he was a small college All-American. He went to a couple of minor league tryouts, and basically it's the only two – they didn't ask guys to run. They didn't ask guys really to field. They mean
wow.
Fielding was just an excuse to throw it to first. Like, he was in line with a kid. They were taking ground balls at shortstop, and they only gave him, like, I don't know, 8 ground balls. And the kid threw 3 of them into the seats. But he threw it at 95 miles an hour. They did. They brought him back. He said, he throws at 95. We can do something with that. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I signed out of a tryout camp, Mom.
Yeah,
so
right.
I mean, I went to 4 of them, and you did. You get half a dozen ground balls at short. You get 5 swings. You run the 60-yard dash. And so I know exactly what those are like, but those days might be over with, because when you start looking at the size of the players now and the things that they can do, it's pretty scary. I'm glad that I played in the 70s.
Yeah, seriously, Doug. I mean, no disrespect, but I mean, I don't think you would have been one of the guys hitting into the parking lot across the street, and those were the guys they asked back. So,
I played at 165 pounds. The biggest I played was 170. Well, shoot, there's nobody under 200 now. And
yeah.
They've all lifted weights. They're all stronger. The strike zones have shrunk down to a thimble. I mean, it's just you can't pitch inside anymore. Guys, nobody takes 2-0 or 3-1. I don't care where you're hitting in the order. So there's a lot of stuff going on now. I saw somebody the other day. They said, you look like you're in pretty good shape. I said, yeah, I'm about 20 pounds from being 10 pounds over my playing weight.
Doug Flynn is with us here. You know, you are right, though. I'm amazed. I remember when I was a little kid, if a guy ever swung 3-0, people would lose their minds.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
oh, yeah.
swings 3-0. Yeah. Although there's a part of me that thinks, why not? You're going to get that may be the best pitch you'll see to hit all night. I mean, honestly. That seems to be antiquated
it's be
mindset.
A fastball.
If a guy's going to throw a major league hitter a fastball down the pike, I might take my chances on letting him have a rip.
Yeah, well, but some guys would, but you figure if he's thrown three of them bad, there's a good chance he's going to try to. He'll probably throw four of them bad. So that's where you got to be very disciplined. And in the old days, they didn't even think about letting a 7th, 8th, 9th place hitter even think about swinging the bat.
That's true.
And very few guys, I remember very few times where Vince or Morgan or those guys ever did that. One, if we had a good lead, they didn't want to show anybody up.
Right.
Two, if we were behind, they wanted to get on base.
Yeah,
so today, those things aren't important. It's all about getting your name in the box scores and how many home runs can you hit. It used to be an embarrassment to strike out. Shoot, not anymore.
No, Mike says it best. The agents run all the games now. That's what it comes down to. You're asking a guy to give up his at-bat, give himself up. That's a term they used to use, right? Give yourself up for the team.
Yep.
You're going to have to answer to his agent. What are you doing to my guy? He's in a contract year. You're giving away at-bats.
Well, the other thing Doug mentioned was don't show anybody up. Now, I mean, that used to be the Bible, right, Doug? Don't show your opponent up because he's coming back again. But now they don't care.
Mickey Mantle said it best one time. He had a home run, and he never looked up. He just ran around the bases. Somebody said, Mickey, how – got around the bases so fast and you never ever looked. He said, look, once you hit a home run off the pitcher, you've already embarrassed him enough. Why rub it in with doing anything else? That's a lesson that all these kids today need to learn. I mean, you watch all the hand signals and the pointing and the stuff going on with the runner coming around third, the third base coach. Good Lord. I mean, and you know what? You know what the new guys say? That's entertainment. That's what the fans want.
Well, there's something to that. I mean, I because I'll be honest about this. The pitcher gets a strikeout. He comes off the mound. He's pounding his chest like Tarzan. Okay, but the batter hits a home run, and he does a little celebration, and there's an act of Congress. They want to censure the guy. How come the pitcher's allowed to celebrate, but the batter's not? That seems a little
odd to
me.
That's a fair question, right, Doug?
Well, the pitcher used to not be able to do that. And I think there's a difference sometimes. When you watch the guy, he's celebrating because he's legitimately pumped up because he got him out of a big situation, or if he's doing it because he knows that every game's on TV and he's probably going to be on SportsCenter that night. And you can usually, Mike, you've played against guys. You've seen guys that legitimately showed emotion when something good happened, but they weren't trying to show anybody up.
Doug, last night's perfect example. Did you see the Met game? Syndergaard's pitching his brains out, and the guy hits a scorcher to the right field, and Pete Alonso, the first baseman, he's a right-hand thrower, so he dives to his backhand side of the hole, knocks it down, picks it up from the ground, throws a perfect strike to Syndergaard covering, and I don't know who the batter was, but I know he was very fast, and they got the out to end the inning, and the two of them did a mid-game spontaneous chest bump, and I don't think anybody got offended at that because that's just what you're talking about. That was a big play. Syndergaard pitched a perfect game through like 5 1/3 innings, so they were pretty jazzed up, so I don't think anybody got mad at that. When it's spontaneous, I think people can respect that.
Well, it's not just spontaneous, but you said it yourself. It's a big play in the game.
Yep.
Well, you see guys now where they have a 4 or 5 run lead, and they hit one in the seats, and they just stand there and glare at it. I don't know. I don't think that would fly back in the old days. I'm going to talk to my buddy Bob Gibson and see what he thinks about it.
Oh, yikes. I don't think I'd want to face Gibby after doing that.
How about Drysdale, Doug? How'd you like to face Drysdale?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of guys that'd be happy to stick one in your ear hole.
And that's the guys you all hear about. There was a whole lot of them that you never even knew that were just nuts that would do it anyway.
My favorite line, Sal Magley, the barber. They said, if your mother batted against you, would you brush her back? He said, if she was crowding the plate. We got to go, Doug. It's great to talk to you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, I'm on my way down to Camp Lejeune to meet my buddy Johnny Vince. We're down there helping do a little fundraiser for our military troops. It's really a cool deal. We'll spend 4 days with our boys on Camp Lejeune, so be thinking of us. It's really a pretty cool deal.
Well, we're asking you to help us with a charity event. Mike's co-chair of this event we're doing at the Kentucky Castle, September 16th. We're playing a celebrity bocce tournament. And I don't care if you've never played, but we'd love to have you play, Doug. We would absolutely love to have you there.
You know what? I played that once on the beach, and I'm about as bad at that as I was hitting, but for you guys, I'll do anything.
All right. I'm telling you, you will enjoy it. This is the 15th year we're doing it. It's been a lot of fun, and we raised the money for cancer research, and some of it goes right there in Lexington to the Markey Hospital. So it's a real – and at the castle – have you been to the castle, Doug?
I've been to the castle. I'm also a 9.5-year cancer survivor from thyroid cancer. So, and I just had cancer removed from my head yesterday, so – when it comes to that, I'll be right there to help you guys. I told Mike, if I'm around, you can count on me helping.
Well, God bless you. Thanks, Doug. And travel safe. We'll talk to you soon. Be well.
All right, Bobby. See you, Mike.
See you, Dougie.
Good peeps.
Yes, he is.
You surround yourself with good peeps. I've always said that. You can tell the character of a person by the company he keeps.
And his mom and dad are special.
Yeah,
his dad's struggling now with his health at 90.
That makes me sad because... I mean, that was one of the great things about going when Louisville would play at Kentucky. His dad was always, I felt like I was going to a wedding. He was like the greeter. It's like the maitre d'. He was just, I get you anything? Yeah. It was like.
Bring your water.
Always give you lifesavers. He always had lifesavers he'd give you. He was just he's still alive, but he's not doing that now.
He's 90, and Doug's mother is just a sweetheart, too. But I have to throw this in. Do you know where Bobby Flynn played basketball? He's from Lexington. You know where he played basketball?
College basketball. His dad?
His dad, Bobby, yeah.
His dad played at the University of Dayton.
Yeah, buddy, all right.
I knew if you're scoring at home, it's 1 hour and 5 minutes into the program. The first Dayton reference.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.